Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm here as always with David Ramil. We were recording this just, about 45 minutes or so after the end of the NBA draft lottery. David and I think we both got our hopes up a little bit for really bad reasons. That was a bad thing for us to do, knowing that Miami entered the draft lottery with just a 1.8% chance of cracking the top three, a 98.2% chance of keeping the 14th pick. That's exactly what happened. Miami ended up with the 14th pick. You and I ended up being crestfallen, extremely disappointed. We set our expectations up way too high. I think a lot of Heat fans did too. Can we spin it positive, David, or are you just not ready? Are you still sulking?
No, I'm not ready to put a positive spin on it. Tony Fiorentino promised us that we would move up in the draft. He said so on Twitter. Yeah. I believed him, and now I know better than to trust anything Tony Fiorentino says.
Especially when it comes to judging whether or not a foul call was legit. It would be one thing if somebody else got screwed. Like, the Lakers ended up keeping the second top three pick. If they would have fallen out of the top three, they would have lost their pick. We could have at least, like, also basked in that. You know what I mean? But, like, everybody else seems like they kind of made out really well. Even Sacramento, we can get into the draft order a little bit later, but even Sacramento, who sort of got screwed, still ended up moving up three spots. Boston ended up keeping the first pick a day after they beat the Wizards in Game 7, made the conference finals. Like, screw Boston. This is, like, Miami didn't get screwed. You know what I mean? They had less than a 2% chance of making it into the top three. Like, we screwed ourselves by heightening up our expectations. You know what I mean? But, man,
I think disappointing. Not sending Julie Adair there, I think, was a big thing.
Yeah, Philadelphia got good vibes from Joel Embiid. He was in a good mood. He was joking around with Cassidy Hubbard on ESPN. He was sitting there laughing. Magic Johnson, oh my gosh, what a great personality he was for the Lakers. He was joking around with Joel. He was like cool, calm, and collected, as charming as he always is. And
Alonzo is Zoe was just, too stoic? He's too stoic,
too
right?
Stoic. You've got to have look, the lottery is not about the Heat way. The Heat are stoic. They are professional. They are composed. You have to send your dumb kid with stupid glasses to go get a first pick in the draft. In the draft lottery. The draft lottery is a show. There's no reason for the draft lottery not only to be on TV, but also to exist. No other professional sports organization does a lottery for their worst teams. It's the worst teams in draft in worst order, by record. The NBA put the draft lottery together because it's kind of cool, and then they put it on TV. There is nothing that really makes sense about the whole thing. So the Heat can't send Alonzo Mourning there and just like have him be awesome Alonzo Mourning as he always is, composed, cool, calm, collected, and have anything good happen to them. If they would have sent Julia Dale or Tony Fiorentino or somebody goofy,
Deion
Waiters should have been there.
Who doesn't even want Miami to have a high draft pick because they don't need anybody, according to
him.
And
wouldn't that be the most Deion thing? Deion can never catch a break.
Yeah, we got the first pick, and he'd be like shaking his head like, he'd be the first guy to be upset that the team got the first pick in the draft. He'd be like, we don't even need that first round pick. Right. Y'all know we don't need that first pick in the draft.
Let's go take
got
Josh
me
Jackson.
Coming back.
So, yeah, I disagreed. The Heat announced a few days ago that Alonzo Mourning was going there. I didn't want to say it publicly because I would get lambasted about it, because you never speak poorly about Alonzo Mourning. It has nothing to do with Alonzo Mourning. He's too good for this. He's too good for the NBA draft lottery. He is. You need somebody goofy there. I don't know, send Deion, send Bernie, I think Julia Dale would have been perfect. So many good vibes. So many good vibes. Just Alonzo.
I'm all in for Fiorentino trying to get an interview with Cassidy, just so he could like start checking her up and down in a very
creepy old man, Tony Fiorentino.
Yeah, not so subtle way at all.
Yeah. See, she asks him a question, he like doesn't even answer, not listening.
Yeah.
So, all right, the final draft order ended up being Boston, stupid Boston, ended up with the first pick in the draft. They're gonna get Markelle Fultz, which is ridiculous. The Lakers somehow get the second pick, right? They had a 25% chance of keeping a pick in the top three. The odds hit. They move up from the third pre-lottery position to the second position in the NBA draft. They're taking Lonzo Ball because they have
to. Is that a guarantee? Is it?
How is it not? Kid went to UCLA. He is Showtime. Magic Johnson's in charge. I don't see any way they don't take Lonzo Ball. There's no way.
Does he fit Luke Walton's system of play?
Totally.
Does
he? Okay. Yeah. Like Luke Walton coming from the Warriors, move the ball and everything. Lonzo Ball is all about moving the ball. He's an unselfish passer. As much as LeVar Ball is really a joke, and I actually kind of like LeVar Ball, to be honest, but he is a joke and he's a clown. Lonzo Ball's a great player, and he's a perfect fit for what the Lakers want to do. And D'Angelo Russell's sort of been... bust is a hard word, right? But he's not been great. He wasn't the second coming of James Harden that people expected him to be. Hmm. Philadelphia ends up with the third pick. Phoenix gets the fourth pick. Sacramento at 5. Orlando at 6. Minnesota at 7. The Knicks have the 8th pick, Dallas at 9, Sacramento again at 10, Charlotte at 11, Detroit at 12, Denver at 13, and of course, the Miami Heat will be picking at the 14th spot. So the big winners of the night, right? We talked about the Lakers. They not only keep their pick, they move up a spot. Phoenix actually had the second, had the pre-lottery position of second, and they were... kind of in the discussion of taking Lonzo Ball. They have Eric Bledsoe. They've got Devin Booker. But Bledsoe's contract runs out in a couple of years. He's really the biggest albatross on that. He's really the only big salary that they can move. And they do have salary problems coming up. So there was a world in which that they say, you know what? Lonzo Ball and Devin Booker are going to be our top flight backcourt for the years to come. And right. Maybe they would have taken him. So the Lakers really... The Lakers really lucked out here. And are you looking forward to talk about this thing being rigged?
No, I'm not looking forward to that, nor do I actually think it was rigged, to be honest with you. I think it's
it was
just
not
it's
rigged.
You never know. You never know about that.
But they like you saw the people back there, they were standing around the thing when the stuff happened. Are you not convinced?
Yeah. I'm fairly convinced, but either way, I think it's
a accounting firm all night, which was kind of weird.
what's televised is actually already after the fact, right? The draft has already taken place beforehand.
Yeah.
So these people are just faking it basically as these cards are pulled up.
It's really just a bunch of cardboard cutouts of people walking around because TV is really only 2D. There's actually nobody there.
Phoenix drops to fourth overall.
Yeah, so they got kind of screwed, right? I think this is a loaded draft, right? Especially at the top. But there was a real consensus top three guys. Fultz, Ball, Josh Jackson out of Kansas. And they basically lose out on those top three guys unless something wacky happens and one of them fall out, which is possible. But they, out of anybody, they drop the most, which is just two picks. So nothing crazy happened. I mean, we've seen in years past... Where the team with the ninth pre-lottery position jumps all the way up into the top three. Nothing weird happened. Like, again, the biggest movement downward was Phoenix at 2. Sacramento ends up at 5, and I think this is interesting because Philadelphia ends up at 3. Philadelphia is another – they're a huge winner because they moved up 5 spots. That's huge for them because what ended up happening was Philadelphia and Sacramento had a pick swap. And Philadelphia gets to pick the best of Sacramento's the picks, they fell. And they tried explaining this about as well as I just did on ESPN. And did you see Joel Embiid's face when he was just like, I don't know. Nobody explained this to me. Everybody's confused. Nobody gets it. Everybody just takes like
I'm just here for the Shirley Temples. I don't know what's going on.
They just told me to be here. I'm here for the process. So anyway, Philadelphia moves up 5 spots to 3. Sacramento technically loses that third pick because they actually It was Sacramento's eighth pick that moved up into the top three. Because Philadelphia has swap rights with it, they get it. But then Philadelphia's pick ended up at five. They swap, so Sacramento gets five, right? So even though they ended up getting screwed in that pick swap, they, because Philadelphia still ended up in the top five, they still got better picks. So Sacramento, bottom line, gets screwed, still moves up in the draft. They moved up three spots, basically, from eight to five, and they kept their 10th pick. So now Sacramento has the fifth and the 10th picks. That's awesome for them. Those are basically the big winners. The only loser really was Phoenix, Minnesota, New York, and Orlando. They all moved down a spot, but that's not a big deal. It happens. Nobody else really got screwed. I don't know. So let's.
There are probably some Heat fans that think Miami got screwed, though, I'll be honest with you.
Well, I wrote a column on allyoucanheat.com about like how if basketball karma exists, this is the time for it to pay up, right? Miami didn't tank. And by not tanking, and I'm not here to say that they should have or should not have tanked, but by not tanking, they basically guaranteed themselves not getting a top five pick. And they, and by doing that, they took themselves out of the running for one of these top flight players, franchise type altering players, you know, or even trading that pick for Jimmy Butler or Paul George or somebody, some other all-star, right? Because a top five pick is worth a lot more than the 14th pick in the draft. So by not tanking, they took themselves out of the running for that. They did almost put themselves in the playoffs. I'm not trying to argue. I'm just stating facts. That is what happened. Still, they competed hard. They did everything that Adam Silver said that he wants teams to do. He doesn't want teams tanking. Miami said, we're not tanking. We're going to try to make the playoffs. They didn't make the playoffs by one game. Dumb tiebreaker with the Chicago Bulls. Like, if anybody deserved to move up in the draft, it was Miami. But it didn't, because the draft is ridiculous. Or the lottery is ridiculous. It just doesn't make sense. And somehow teams with, like the Lakers, who just kind of run into a wall over and over again for several years, end up lucking out.
Well, there's been the long-standing theory that the league is always better when the Celtics and Lakers are successful at the same time.
Have the Celtics and Lakers ever had the top two picks in the draft? There's no way.
The two picks? No. Well, when was Larry Bird taken third overall or second? No, I guess he was taken second overall. But
the Lakers wouldn't have had the first pick that year.
Did they have Magic that year? Or no, it was Magic drafted the year before.
Too much. There's no way they were both in the same draft. That would be insane.
Well, they did play, and I guess Magic came out early.
Oh, wait. You're right. Magic Johnson. Let's look this up live on air. Magic Johnson was drafted.
This is exciting radio right here.
Magic Johnson. And we have listeners right now that know the answer to this and are just screaming at us. Like
they are. They're yelling terribly.
Yeah, 1979 draft.
Well, he was picked six.
Magic Johnson was picked first.
Larry Bird was picked six in 1978.
Yeah, so Magic Johnson was picked the year after. Okay, so now that we got that sorted out.
I've got to read up on that. How did he go six? Was it because he's white? Because he nobody expects him? Because
Yeah, I think it was the whole he played in like small
Indiana town, State.
Indiana State. Yeah, I think that's what the whole thing was.
The Sycamores. I don't know that much. The Indiana State Sycamores.
All right.
Everybody needs to understand that I'm more than simply a hype man for this rap group. Just like Geico is more than just a company that can save you money. Geico also has fast and friendly claim service, so they can help you when you need it most. And while I do love being a hype man, I also love reading for children's audiobooks. Like Little Bo Peep, she lost a sheep, and she don't know where to find them. Yo!
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
So let's talk about some targets for Miami at 14 then. Because this is where they're going to end up picking. If they ended up getting a top three pick, we're talking about Markelle Fultz, Lonzo Ball, Josh Jackson, Jason Tatum, one of those types of guys. But they're not. They're picking at 14. And the difference between that and the 14th pick is pretty substantial, but this is where the Heat are picking, and that's fine. This is still a really important pick for Miami. They're probably not going to have their pick next year. It's top seven protected. Most likely going to Phoenix. So unless Miami ends up with one of the seven worst records in the league next year, which I don't think that they will, then Miami sends its pick next season to Phoenix. They've got a pick in 2019, but who knows where that's going to fall. No second-round picks this year or until the year 2022, even though there's ways to work around that. The Heat believe that there's always a way to get a second-round pick. Maybe that's the case. But all in all, this pick is important because they need to find at least a contributor. And we've talked about guys like Giannis Antetokounmpo and Kawhi Leonard who have been picked at 15. You can find stars now at 14. So let's talk about some targets and who are going to be available. We're looking at TheRinger.com, Draft Express, guys that they're projecting to be picked around where Miami's picking. OG Anunoby, interesting prospect we'll talk about. Zach Collins, the Gonzaga center. UNC forward Justin Jackson. Duke guard Luke Kennard, or Kennard, or however you say it. I'm not sure yet. We'll figure it out. UCLA center Ike Enigbogu, Texas center Jared Allen, Wake Forest power forward John Collins, UCLA power forward TJ Leaf, Cal power forward / center Ivan Rabb. Those are really the guys. Terrence Ferguson, who went overseas to play in Australia this year. Those are really the guys in that 14 range. Any of those names really pop out to you?
Not particularly. I think it's just looking at Miami's needs, as you pointed out, they're probably looking for somebody who could be more of a NBA-ready, somebody who can contribute right away. And a lot of these guys seem like they have, at least physically, a lot of work to do. I mean, Justin Jackson in particular is the guy linked most frequently to Miami in the draft. And yet it seems like, you know, obviously he's a little underweight. That's 6'8", enlisted at 193, according to Draft Express. You know, he's clearly got some bodybuilding to do there. And Miami's a good place for that. But if they're looking for an immediate contributor, they probably would want somebody a little bit more NBA-ready physically. And to me, I think that's actually Anunoby, a guy we've talked about before, a guy who has a lot of potential. He's got the length. He's got the size. He's definitely muscular enough. He looks a little bit like I'm drawing a blank now. The kid out of Detroit who got drafted a couple years ago, the same time as Justice
Stanley Williams. Johnson.
Stanley Johnson, of course.
Yeah, that's a good physical comparison. I like that.
Yeah, although he's actually probably a little bit taller, maybe not necessarily as stocky, but he's still, you know, very very chiseled, yeah. Etc. I don't know.
Like an Anunoby, though, and I'm a fan of his too. In Miami, this is a guy who probably gets picked in the top 8 or 10 players, if not for his knee injuries that he suffered at Indiana this last season. He's a guy that has not played a lot of basketball. That's the thing. Very small sample size. Started playing basketball pretty late in high school. Just played a little bit his freshman year. Went back for but his coming out party was when Indiana went to the tournament in his freshman year, and he really started getting on the map. As a perimeter defender, he was just all over the place. He was disruptive and started getting Kawhi Leonard comparisons. We know how fair those are. But his sophomore year started on pretty strong, wasn't as good offensively as a lot of people maybe had hoped, but was still showing some improvements. Then jacked up his knee, ended up missing the rest of the season. Probably gets picked in the top 8, if not for that. Miami's best chance of getting him is because of that injury. Maybe you guys are a little scared off of that. They're scared of the small sample size. There's teams that say, you know what, we just need somebody that's more polished offensively than this guy, and maybe he falls to Miami. I don't know.
It's tough to see.
Yeah, but we did put a mock draft together, and just a quick disclaimer, we threw this together right before we started recording. The draft combine is done, but there's still going to be a lot of movement with these players as scouts break down more film. We're going to start hearing whispers of this and that, how certain interviews went. Guys might get injured during workouts. Who knows? But there's just big, major disclaimer. This is not our official mock draft. This is our immediate reaction mock draft. So let's just do it. Boston gets Markelle Fultz at number 1. The Lakers get Lonzo Ball at number 2. We've already discussed that. Philadelphia. The lucky Philadelphia 76ers at 3. We think they take Josh Jackson. There's a couple ways they can go here. They could go and try to get a guard, but this is a little high for them to take a guard. They could take Kentucky point guard De'Aaron Fox here, maybe Malik Monk. But Josh Jackson's just the best player on the board. We think they take him, right?
Yeah, I think that's a good fit. You know, some people have talked about Kyle Lowry as a potential free agency option for Philadelphia, a guy that they could throw a lot of money as a veteran who can immediately put them in contention, assuming that, of course, Joel Embiid is, healthy.
And Ben Simmons is really going to be playing point guard for them anyway.
That seems to be the case, yeah, absolutely. He'll be the main ball distributor, the guy with the ball in his hands most often than not. So a guy like Jackson seems to fit, and they can play a little off ball and create a shot, et cetera.
They take the Milwaukee route, basically. Let's just draft the longest, at most athletic guys available. Phoenix then takes Jason Tatum at 4, the Duke forward, who projects to be one of the better offensive players immediately in this draft. He could score from a lot of different areas on the court. Phoenix takes him. Sacramento gets their point guard finally with De'Aaron Fox at 5. We kind of threw around the idea of them skipping the point guard position here. If they liked somebody else, maybe a Malik Monk or a Jonathan Isaac or something crazy. But with the two best small forwards off the board already, with Josh Jackson and Jason Tatum already going, filling their point guard need with the best point guard available at this point with Fox makes a lot of sense with Sacramento.
Yeah, you had some concerns, legitimate ones, that their front court is pretty deep because they've just taken a number of big men in the past. So it seems like if they're going to take anybody of that fifth pick, it would probably be somebody in the backcourt.
Yeah, I mean, they were in a similar situation this year that they were in last year. Their picks weren't as good last year, but they took two guys in the top of the draft, Scala Bessier and Georges Papagiannis, who barely played this last year, and they still have Willie Cauley-Stein there. They still got Kostas Koufos. Even after trading DeMarcus Cousins, I know for like a fact Dave Joerger is just not loved how deep they are at the big man spot, and he really prefers to fill out some length on the roster. This is a team that was playing Ben McLemore at the 3 towards the end of the season. They had to play Ty Lawson and Darren Collison on the court at the same time. This is a team that just needs more players in the backcourt, needs more length. De'Aaron Fox is long. He's athletic. He's by far the most talented guard on that roster already, just athletically wise, so it makes sense. And Fox having Buddy Hield there to space the floor and sharpshoot a little bit makes a lot of sense. Orlando at 6 takes Jonathan Isaac out of Florida State, a player I like a lot, and a player that Orlando might like a lot based on their whiteboard, which says that they're looking for tweeners, right?
Right, yeah, they're looking for combo forwards, guys that can play multiple positions, versatile players. They've already got Aaron Gordon there, who can they play at the 4. But their backcourt seems pretty set unless something happens dramatically with Elfrid Payton. They've already got Evan Fournier there. They traded for Terrence Ross when they moved Serge Ibaka to Toronto. So we talked about the possibility of Malik Monk being a better fit there, but I guess they're pretty set in their backcourt. So chances are they'd like to supplement somebody in the frontcourt. And although, again, they have Nick Vucevic, they got Bismack Biyombo, and like I said, Gordon already there, they could add a guy like Isaac, who is from Florida State, you know, maybe can make that connection to Florida there and provide some versatility. At 6'11 with a 7'2 wingspan, he's certainly a guy you can play at the 4 or 5, maybe even a little bit at the 3 position. So he fits a number of different roles there, and I think he's got a pretty big upside.
Minnesota then takes Malik Monk, which, interesting pick, right? There's a lot of – some people think that they can go Lauri Markkanen, the big the three-point shooting power forward out of Arizona. But you and I talked about it, and we're not sure what their plan is for Karl-Anthony Towns. Is he a power forward for them? Is he a center for them? We don't know. Maybe Minnesota just says, well, we think Malik Monk is the best scorer available. We need more scoring. It also, Zach LaVine's coming off of an injury. We're not sure what Chris Dunn's going to be, but we don't want to take a pure point guard. Monk is kind of a combo guard. He's the best perimeter shooter in the draft, regardless. And he can come in immediately, at the very least, be our Lou Williams, and at the very best, maybe project a little bit like Devin Booker.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense for them, I think. You know, they lacked scoring at times, particularly in the second half, wasn't it, when they would just fall apart and they didn't have any answers offensively. A guy like Monk could be brought in off the bench, and all of a sudden you just ignite the offense. So it seems like a natural fit there, to be honest with you.
The Knicks get Dennis Smith Jr., North Carolina State point guard. That's an easy pick for them. They're in major need of a point guard, so it'd be Smith Jr. or Frank Ntilikina. Smith Jr. projects as the better player right now. He's higher on most draft boards. They take him.
So they, do they not throw $20-something million at Derrick Rose? Or
oh no, they might. They might do that anyway. Who knows? It's the Knicks. Dallas then takes Dirk Nowitzki Jr. / Larry Markkanen. Kind of rigged this to make it so that he fell to Dallas just because that would be sort of fun, having Larry Markkanen just kind of get groomed behind Dirk Nowitzki, right?
Right. I mean, it just it'd be great. I mean, look, I know there's a lot of resentment from Heat fans for Dallas in general, but, you know, Nowitzki's probably towards the end of his career. He's definitely in the twilight era. Markkanen comes in there, another guy who can space the floor, another European project. You know, a guy who maybe won't make an immediate impact, but he can learn from the very best. And, you know, carry them into another era of 40 plus wins every season and almost making the playoffs or making the playoffs every year. So they've got some potential options there in the front court with Nerlens Noel, who they traded for. Right. And although
forward looking, he's a good pick. He's a good fit with Nerlens Noel because Noel is just a rim running guy who needs space to do that. Once Dirk retires, you bring in Markkanen and he still provides enough space for Noel to get to that rim.
Yeah, with Harrison Barnes, they're set at the forward center position for the next 5-6 years.
Yeah, they could go guard here, but Markkanen, I mean, falling all the way to 9 here is far enough for a 7-footer who could shoot threes. I just don't think that they would take a guard over a talent like Markkanen. Yeah. Sacramento, unfortunately, we've got them taking OG Anunoby. They could go another guard here, but they've got De'Aaron Fox at 5. Sacramento. Look, we talked with Vince Miracle yesterday.
Oh, we will be talking to Vince.
Or we talked with him. We recorded already. You'll hear that tomorrow. And we talked to him about Rudy Gay opting out, and we talked to him about what Sacramento could do in the draft. This makes a lot of sense. Just like I said before, they have no guys with length on the perimeter. Anunoby has that. At the very least, he could just go out there and be the right size for his position, which is an improvement for what Sacramento is dealing with. That pick just makes so much sense for them.
It does.
Charlotte then takes Frank Ntilikina. Interesting pick here, but they need guard depth. They've got Kemba Walker there at point guard, but they need guard depth. He can come in and just at least be the backup. He's got George Hill-like length. Kemba Walker doesn't. So... that fills a need there just for a defensive-minded point guard. Right. I think he could work wonders for that defense.
Yeah, get mentored by Nick Batum. They got Michael Kidd-Gilchrist there, but he's just another long guard who has a tremendous potential. He's only still not even 19 years old, so he's a guy who can really, really grow and can learn from having to guard Walker on a daily basis in practice. I mean, that would be a tremendous opportunity for him.
Detroit then takes the guard out of Louisville, Donovan Mitchell, just a good combo guard. Projecting right now as a shooting guard. If he improves his handles, maybe could move over to a point guard one day. We know Detroit isn't super happy with Reggie Jackson, right? Maybe that's a filler in the future, but for now, they need guard depth. They just don't have it, and Mitchell provides that right now.
And Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is a free agent, so that's...
Good point. Denver then takes Justin Jackson. Danilo Gallinari could be on his way out. They could definitely use some scoring on the wing and some extra length. That's a nice pick for Denver, right, Justin Jackson?
Yeah, another guy who, you know, he's got some length, but he's got the speed. He's young enough where he could probably make that adjustment to the high altitude there, and he knows how to fill it up. Another guy for Michael Malone. He's just another chip in his arsenal there. So,
and then so that leaves Miami. We've got Gonzaga center Zach Collins falling to the Heat. A lot of draft boards have Collins as a top 10, 11 player. This is Miami getting somebody that was projected higher than them. I really like Zach Collins. You're a little bit more tentative on him.
He's got potential. I see what you like about him and that he can space the floor. He's 19. There's certainly some upside there. He does have size and length. He could potentially be the quote-unquote center of the future. I just think, looking at him, that I think he lacks that kind of athleticism that Miami tends to look at in their draft picks. I think, you know, looking at the way the team is built, they would rather have a guy who's more on the athletic side and doesn't necessarily have the skill to show for it, and then be able to teach them those skills as they move forward. I think they'd rather have the athletic potential already in place, and he just doesn't strike me as a guy who does that.
And the problem is, and I agree 100% with what you're saying, I just don't see that player available. So at this point, maybe if they were to move down a little bit, you start talking about, and you're probably not a center, right? You're thinking more of a wing. They're not trying to fill up. They're probably trying not to invest in a center like that. They could go Terrence Ferguson, who's an athletic, tall-ish shooting guard. He could shoot threes, but he can't really do a whole lot else. But maybe maybe that makes a little bit more sense. But do they want to add to their depth at guard? Right, we figure they're going to make Wade as a priority. They've already got Tyler Johnson. They've already got Josh Richardson. They've got Dragic. Wayne Ellington has a contract as of now. Do they want to add another guard to the roster?
Now, we did talk beforehand, and it seemed like it made a lot of sense. Ike Enigbogu out of UCLA is a guy who has that kind of athletic potential. He's 6'10", with a 7'6 1/4 wingspan, 230, pretty solid guy overall. Again, very, very young, not quite 19, won't be 19 by the time they draft him. So you're taking a flyer on a guy like that, but he does already have the athleticism where he can make that kind of impact, and you're hoping that maybe that'll translate to the next level. Mm. Can you see Miami drafting
one position, though? That's the problem.
He doesn't have the versatility to play multiple positions.
Right. And if you've got Whiteside there, look, you and I love the 48 minutes of rim protection, but you got Whiteside there. You're trying to bring back James Johnson, probably, who could play a little bit of center. You and I like O'Kara White possibly playing a little bit of center next season. I think the Heat need to draft a center this year, but I don't think they need to do it in the first round. And I like EK. I like this guy a lot. He's somebody that Draft Express compared to Alonzo Mourning, basically saying that just physically wise. Like, he's got the same body type that Mourning had when he left Georgetown. Which, to me, is like, obviously, as any Heat fan perks up when they hear that. You've got the 14th pick in the draft. Do you really take a player who can't do anything better than be a backup on your roster? Like, do you do this to Hassan Whiteside right now, who probably doesn't react well to that? I don't know, man. I don't know. I think
it's tough. It's tough to see. I mean, maybe and another potential option that we talked about was that they could use the 14th pick on a guy like Collins, who was supposed to, like you said, be a top 10 pick. And then they could use that pick to kind of trade down and maybe acquire an established veteran player, plus somebody who slips 15th or 16th in the draft and still find a need right there.
So I like Collins, and I at least want to talk about him a little bit, because if you're here, I like Collins because he is I think he is a little bit more athletic, at least as far as versatility goes. He could play power forward for you. He could play backup center for you right away. And if he's got enough skill to at least develop a three-point shot. He flashed a little bit of it in his first year at Gonzaga. So if he does develop a three-point shot, he becomes Frank Kaminsky, who could play defense. Because he's ready to play defense right now in the NBA. And he can rebound right now in the NBA. So he could come in, play backup center for Hassan Whiteside, eventually transition over to maybe being your starting power forward, who could space the floor a little bit, also play some center, and all of a sudden you've got not a unicorn, but like an almost unicorn in the front court there, which is something the Heat don't have right now. I like his potential to be a good passer. I watched a lot of Gonzaga this last year for some reason, because I live on the West Coast, I guess. I don't know. He always jumped off the screen for me. I've always liked him. I think it's a good pick. If they do have to move, let's say they move down, right? Like, they could trade this. They could take Collins or whomever at 14, trade down in the draft, and go get a guy later who maybe fits that multi-positional mold, more athletic. Semi Ojeleyi, SMU small forward / power forward. Didn't have a great combine as far as his measurements went. He's 6'7 with a 6'9 3/4 wingspan. So he's a 6'10-ish wingspan. Not super long, but athletic, 235 pounds. He could score, or at least he could at SMU. He could play a little bit of 3, a little bit of 4 for you. Maybe he makes sense, but how redundant is he of Justice Winslow? I like Michigan power forward DJ Wilson a lot as a guy who could come in, stretch the court, but also maybe play center for you down the line and as maybe the closest thing to Chris Bosh in this draft. But I just don't see the super versatile long athlete being available at 14, and that's really how Miami gets screwed when they don't move up in the draft.
There are a lot of options, and I'm sure that we'll probably be exploring a lot of them over the next few weeks before the draft. When is the actual date of the draft?
June 22nd, or is that my dad's birthday? I can't remember. Yeah, it's June 22nd, so I really got to figure out when my dad's birthday is. But, yeah.
Hopefully he'll get Zach Collins for his birthday.
I don't know who my dad likes. Yeah, so that's our mock draft for now. Miami ends up with Zach Collins. Things could change. Justin Jackson, a player that a lot of Heat players, Heat fans like, goes just a pick earlier than them. Miami could also, we talked about them moving down, they can always move up, right? It probably doesn't take a whole lot for them to move up a pick or two. It could be interesting. They might have to part ways with Tyler Johnson or Josh Richardson or, I don't know, $4 million worth of cash. It might take something like that to move up. Who knows? But anything's in play when you've got Pat Riley.
Who seems most likely to move up of the teams or move down of the teams? Charlotte, maybe? I mean, could they address their you know their backcourt situation and maybe move somebody on their team? They don't have a lot of options there either.
I mean, Sacramento's got a fifth pick. Maybe they want to move that 10th pick down. They seem like a team that would move down for more draft picks.
Yeah.
Like unless Miami's willing to package Justice Winslow in the 14th pick to move up four spots, which is not going to happen. Minnesota. Like, I could see Minnesota moving down. You know, if Thibodeau decides that he wants to play Towns at power forward and all of the centers are really bunched up together in the middle of the first round, would Minnesota take the 14th pick and Josh Richardson, for example, for the 7th pick? You can make an argument that Josh Richardson is better for that team right now than Malik Monk. And if that were the case, according to our mock draft. Yeah. What?
I mean, I definitely think that's the case. And maybe we're biased having watched him closely in Miami for the last couple of seasons. But, I mean, he's much better. You know, he's still young. I mean, he was a four-year player. So maybe in Minnesota, maybe they've just been convinced to try to get as young as possible. But, you know, youth, as this last season showed, doesn't necessarily help all that much if you don't have any kind of proven talent there. He's a guy who will work hard. I mean, I think Thibodeau would love having a guy like Richardson on that roster.
And so Miami would then be at the 7th pick. They'd have options between Malik Monk, Lauri Markkanen, Dennis Smith Jr., OG Anunoby. So, yeah, they would probably take Markkanen at that spot. No? You get a stretch four who could shoot, 7-footer who could shoot threes. Nimble enough, even though he needs work defensively. But, hey, you've got Whiteside next to you, so just let them go by. Whiteside's protecting the rim. That could be a really good pick. All right. So that's our immediate reaction after the NBA draft lottery. A lot to shake out still, but we'll be talking about, like you said, the draft for the next several weeks until it actually happens. That's all we have for today, whether you're listening on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher. Thank you for listening. Get in touch with the show on Twitter at LockedOnHeat or by email, where you can send us mailbag questions, comments, or sponsorship opportunities. That's LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. If you're not subscribed already, please do so to get the podcast automatically every day. Then go to iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.
Napa know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.